Thanks for joining us for Magnolia Conversations, a podcast that takes a peek inside Magnolia Glen, what our associates and residents are up to these days, and for now, how we're navigating the new normal, living with COVID-19. I'm Betsy Sykes, your host, and episode one features an in-depth conversation with Magnolia Glen Executive Director Jaime Pacheco. We'll talk about the challenges COVID-19 brings to operating a senior living community. From dining to wellness programs, senior living residents depend on specialized services to enhance and maintain their healthy lifestyle. But what happens when a global pandemic threatens to sideline those services? How can we continue to deliver life-enhancing and at times life-saving services while keeping residents safe? It's a balancing act, and no one knows that better than Jaime Pacheco. With 15 years of senior living experience, 10 of those as an executive director, Jaime is accustomed to the challenges of managing a senior living community. Safe to say, no one was entirely prepared for COVID-19. What started out as small operational changes became significant changes in how Magnolia Glen was run, all in an attempt to flatten the curve and protect the lives of more than 200 residents and 100 associates. Jaime, welcome.
Thank you very much, Betsy. Pleasure to be here.
Well, let's begin at the beginning, late February. That's when you began discussing COVID-19 at your scheduled chats with residents. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I remember those chats actually as if it was yesterday, although it was a few months ago. At that time, there was a lot of news getting really hot and heavy about COVID, and I think it was primarily associated with that nursing home that was having a challenge in Washington State. And I specifically remember as a team asking everybody who was there during those chats in terms of residents, if they were worried about what was happening in China and then at that time at that nursing home in Washington State, and if they thought we should be focused on it and worried. And overwhelmingly, the feedback was not at all, that it's not here, we shouldn't be worried about it, let's move on to more important things like if the green beans are cooked perfect. So it was definitely weird to think about now and how everything has progressed.
Did you have any idea, at the beginning at least, of how significant an event this pandemic would be?
Absolutely not. You know, I don't think anybody did, right? And much like the residents when we were talking to them in February about if they thought we should be worried, it felt like it was happening a world away, and in many respects it was, right? I mean, what was going on in China started to get out around, what, January, February, and March, and it just didn't seem like it was ever going to come to North Carolina, never going to come to Wake County, and hopefully never comes to Magnolia Glen. So I could never have imagined it.
So when did you know that coronavirus would truly alter the way we care for our residents and care for our associates? Was there a moment?
I always go back to the nursing home at Washington State. So at first, it still felt like what was happening at that nursing home was just worlds away. But when it didn't go away and it kept being on the front page of newspapers and on the evening news, and obviously because of it being a nursing home, it started to hit it home very quickly, and some of the challenges they were having started to create a lot of anxiety here at the community, not only with families, but residents and associates as well.
So obviously, we've made a lot of operational changes during all this, so let's break it down. Wellness programs, how have they changed and why?
You know, Betsy, I appreciate you bringing up wellness. I think wellness is such an important piece of the service offerings that we have here at the community. Obviously, with COVID and our COVID safety protocols, we've had to start focusing on changing most things to respect social distancing protocols. So we've had to get really creative. And I think historically, we've had lots of face-to-face programming, which have been obviously very successful and create tons of value for our residents. But now with social distancing, I think we've had to incorporate and rely on things like technology much more to continue delivering high quality, creatively designed programs. So I do think it's important to mention, though, that, you know, our philosophy surrounding wellness and wellness programming hasn't changed at all. So the way that we're delivering these programs, we've had to change and get creative, but the whole philosophy, which we call the art of living well, has remained the same. So that philosophy focuses on six dimensions of wellness, which we define as intellectual, emotional, physical, social, spiritual, and vocational. So when our wellness team are planning to create a calendar for the next month or for the next week in this case, they're really focusing or remaining to focus on those six dimensions of wellness in creating the overall program. So the way we're executing is different, but the overall outcome is almost the same.
Dining, such an important part of the senior living experience. How is that being handled now?
You know, so dining was the first thing that we started to change. And it's no surprise that when everybody is focused on social distancing and trying to keep people safe, that having a dining room full of 75 to 100 residents in one time, three times a day, is probably not a good idea. So we've had to, again, get very creative. And instead of offering in dining room experiences, we're offering high quality experiences directly in the resident apartment. So specifically, our residents have the luxury now of having meals continued to be prepared by one of our amazing chefs and delivered by our dining team every day. So we are using mechanisms that we weren't using before. So in the past, we were heavily reliant on things like styrofoam to deliver meals to residents' apartments. But now we've had the opportunity to pivot and change with COVID, and we're now using eco-friendly containers, which our residents are appreciating, and they do a better job of maintaining the quality and the integrity of the food that they're getting delivered to their apartment.
Let's talk a little bit about our prevention efforts at Magnolia Glen and managing who has access to the community.
Yeah, you know, access has been one of the things that's been most challenging to our family members, and for good reason. You know, we are a community that really thinks it's important to have a collaborative approach to how we do business every day and provide services. So families are a really big piece of that. But unfortunately, with everything going on and for the safety of our associates and residents, we've had to really start restricting who is able to come inside of our community. So we are limiting visitors to compassionate visits or end-of-life care or visits that are required to keep the resident safe from a care perspective. So that's been a big change. But as part of those protocols, we've also have things that are much different for us. So if you would see our front desk now, we have a barrier that protects the folks working at the front desk to make sure they're safe. We have temperature screening protocols in place. So everybody who does come into our community for those end of life or compassionate visits are being taken their temperature with a non-contact thermometer. They're also having to answer a series of questions on our electronic kiosk that are strictly relating to COVID to make sure that we are monitoring who's coming in and out. And we've also done a lot of different things. I mean, we've had to increase the frequency of our cleanings in common areas to make sure that we're properly sanitizing all areas of the community. One of the things that we've focused on as our change of the community is our personal protective equipment that we're having to use at all times. So you'll see people, visitors and existing residents and associates wearing things like face masks. So all those things have been very different in terms of our infection control at the community.
You mentioned PPE. There's been so much talk about the scarcity of PPE. Does Magnolia Glen have what it needs to operate safely?
We do, and I say that confidently. Now, just like everybody else who has been dealing with this pandemic, in the early stages, there was a scramble, right? I don't think anybody, any healthcare or senior living community was truly prepared for the amount of personal protective equipment that would be required, and neither were we. However, we are incredibly lucky that we had a support system in place from our home office in California, as well as already supply chains and relationships built in that we were able to very quickly get the appropriate personal protective equipment, both for our residents, which is a new thing. Normally, we're not giving personal protective equipment to residents, but in this case, we are distributing face masks and face coverings to make sure they're safe. But also, all 100 of our associates are now wearing personal protective equipment, depending on the situation. So that has been a very, very positive aspect of this whole pandemic, is our ability to really acquire those requirements very quickly.
What would you say are the unique challenges facing the caregivers, the nurses, and the clinical staff here at Magnolia Glen? Because we have a section of our community that's dedicated for assisted living.
That's true. You know, one of the challenges is the psychology associated with COVID-19. So many communities have challenges with staffing limitations. Luckily, Magnolia Glen has amazing associates, and we have not had to deal with staffing limitations to date. However, the psychology associated with COVID has been our biggest challenge. So our associates are coming to work every day to serve each other and serve our residents in the best way they can. But consciously, they also understand that there's risk, right? And there's concerns in their home with their family having to continue working, or in some cases being furloughed. So that whole weight of the psychology is the biggest challenge. We found ourselves being, you know, part-time therapists, part-time psychologists, and very unqualified to do so in many cases. But that's been a huge focus and something that I think has been a impact of COVID-19 that we would have never thought would be a challenge.
To dovetail off of that, how do you keep associate spirits up, and how do you reduce that anxiety that's so palpable?
That's also a great question. I think, you know, we have been focusing on that a lot lately. And I think, you know, one thing I would say is that we're so lucky here that we have such amazing associates. And it's been very sobering to witness the countless moments of camaraderie that we've seen amongst the team, even when we know the anxiety levels are incredibly high. And so we try to focus our energy in terms of reducing anxiety around certain areas. One, we like to explain to our associates as often as possible the why behind why they're here. And we always correlate the why with what we call our principles, values, and beliefs. And those PVVs are something that help guide us and remind us why we're actually in our communities serving these folks. And we also do our best to communicate. So I think we've done a very focused campaign on communicating to all stakeholders, including our associates, with as much facts and data as possible surrounding COVID. So I think the anxiety levels initially were around not knowing what COVID was, how to manage it, what the impacts would be. And in many cases, those are still being answered, but we try to deliver the most up-to-date facts and data to our associates as much as possible so that they can have some clarity and some resolve in approaching their days every day.
How have you seen our associates really rise to the occasion?
There's been so many examples. So our associates here have been wonderful. We've seen them actually raise their hand to work additional hours in certain departments where needed. And so where, you know, a lot of businesses dealing with COVID are having to sometimes reduce their services that they're offering, we're actually having to increase services in many respects. So you mentioned earlier dining and the delivery of these meals to all 208 apartments. That's a huge task, and that requires significantly more labor in order to do that. And we've had our associates raise their hand and want to help in that process. We've also had associates who don't normally, aren't normally responsible for sanitizing common areas and parts of our community also raise their hand and say, look, I would like to help. And so we have associates also working to help sanitize our communities that roles aren't in environmental services or housekeeping. So that's been really, really wonderful. We've had associates here come together and help each other during times of need. So when there's been associates whose family members possibly have been furloughed, they've put together some resources to help them buy groceries or, you know, help with childcare so they can come to work. Those are some of the examples of these associates that are coming together to help come to work and continue the services here at the community.
We've talked so much today about all the different operational changes that we've seen. Do you see any of these sticking long term?
You know, we talk a lot here about what long term means and what that new normal is going to look like. And I am confident in saying I'm the first one that doesn't know that answer. But I do think there's going to be some things that most likely will be sticking around a lot longer than we ever anticipated. Things like the use of face coverings or face masks here at the community. Things like regular temperature checks for visitors, associates, and residents, things that we normally would never have done, those things I think will continue.
So we're a couple months into this, in what will likely be many, many more months of dealing with this. But let's take a moment to talk about the good stuff. What silver linings have you seen so far?
You know, one of the things I think has been absolutely amazing is the idea of creativity and problem solving. Early on during COVID, there was an incredible amount of change that was required in a very short period of time. And that change was happening almost minute by minute. And the ability of our associates to actually come together and problem solve a particular challenge has been very sobering. We also are very excited surrounding the idea of technology. So before, technology was not something we normally relied on as heavy as we are now, but that's a silver lining that I think you'll see in the future is using technology like our in-house TV channel for programming or communication, using FaceTime to communicate with families, using things like telehealth where normally was not used at all. We think that's going to be a silver lining that we'll see in the future. And again, you know, one thing that I think we kind of touched on already, but is the idea of communication. We've been forced to do a better job communicating to everyone, including people like families who aren't allowed to come right now or being restricted. So I think that's an incredible silver lining that we'll see continue here at the community long term.
Jaime Pacheco, thank you.
Betsy, anytime. Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank you for listening. We hope you join us next time for Magnolia Conversations.